Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass podcast. To learn more about Galcom and our guests today, visit galcom.org.
Because of this difficulty in the whole tribal issues, we talk a lot about the issues between Christians and Muslims. But in reality, the number one issue is tribalism, tribe against tribe.
Hello, friend. Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. I'm Ron Harris. On today's Mission Compass, we want to update you on what Galcom is doing around the world and also connect with a ministry partner who, like Galcom, is making waves. Where do you fit in the Great Commission? Well, keep listening. We may have answers for you. And here's your host, Galcom's Tim Whitehead.
Well, thank you, Ron. I'm very excited about our program today. Very good friend, Rick Bradford, joins us. He's been working in Nigeria for several years now, actually from missionary from my home church. So it's always nice to connect with him and find out what God is doing. Faye Watford, our communications team lead, has kind of taken over the assignment of keeping our eye on unreached people groups. So we're going to be learning about another group that is less than 2% Christian, has no mature self-reproducing church, meaning they need help. They need missionaries. And so we need to be praying. Maybe God wants to use us. But before any of that, we'd like to give a little bit of an update on what God is doing through the ministry of Galcom. And do you ever have things just go wrong and you can't figure out what's happening? Well, we've been doing this radio program now for over 10 years, and we still have some troubles. Our field technician, Kevin Baker, has just done a whirlwind trip with our partner, Dan Hatfield, with First Nations radio ministry. And we had recorded a great story, and somehow it's gone. It's lost somewhere in our servers here, and we can't get at it. But because of timelines, we have to get the program out to our radio affiliates around the country and down in the U.S. as well. And so very quickly, I wanted to give you an update what God is doing on First Nations territories through CJTL Radio and our partners at the Native Evangelical Fellowship of Canada and Nations One for Christ, all of us working together to get the gospel on to our First Nations people. We'll get Kevin on the program. We'll get it all in here, and we won't lose it this time. So my apologies to Kevin. We actually, now as Galcom, participated in our first work in the Yukon. So Kevin was picked up by Dan Hatfield in his home near Carstairs in Alberta. They flew up through the mountains. Incredible pictures. We're going to be putting some stuff up on our social media so you can see just where they went, to a place called Carcross in the Yukon. They first stopped in Dease Lake in BC, northern BC. Did some site visiting there, and they're going to head back and put a radio station in Dease Lake, and then headed up to Carcross and put a radio station up there in the Yukon. As they were working away, and they realized, man, you know, we finally got this done. They looked at their watch. It was 1 a.m., but because, of course, summertime way up in the Arctic area, it's the land of the midnight sun. So they had lots of time to work. We praise God that he actually provided the extra daylight hours for them to get the satellite dish to bring in the signal from the studios and then put up the tower and antenna to get that community covered with the gospel. From there, they had to go up to Whitehorse, get some supplies, and then they headed to Goodfish Lake, northern Alberta, doing some radio work there, some scouting visits, doing some repair work, onto Leduc, Alberta. Hey, if you're not driving, you know, grab a Google map and just see the area these guys covered in the last couple weeks. Just traveling all these areas where people desperately need to know Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, we're going to get Kevin on, but we have a prayer request. The Native Evangelical Fellowship of Canada has got the difficult work of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with our First Nations people in Canada. And of course, you've heard in the news, residential schools and all of the damage the church has done. They are doing incredible work, bringing healing, emotional healing, trauma relief. And it's being done by First Nations speakers that know Jesus and love Jesus and want to share him with their brothers and sisters in First Nations territories in Canada. So please be praying for Kevin, our technician, for Dan from Nations One for Christ, Kenny Jackson, the head of the NEFC, Conrad Flett, who's a speaker, a Christian television speaker, often doing the traveling with us as well. Great work is being done on Canada's First Nations territories using radio. Thank you for being a part.
Sarah struggles with depression. There's no simple fix, but one of her most powerful helps when she's spiraling is an old journal. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. Sarah has a journal in which she's recorded all the ways God has spoken into or moved powerfully in her life. She updates it regularly, and on her dark days, she rereads her story with God. Throughout the Bible's Old Testament, God's people built altars using simple stacks of rocks in all the different places where God had interacted significantly with them. Genesis, the first book of the Bible, tells, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram, and Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord." This physical act of building that monument held spiritual and emotional significance. Throughout his life, Abraham could look back at markers reminding him of God's promises and faithfulness. In our busy world, it's easy to forget what happened yesterday, let alone what God did last week or how he spoke to us in our darkest moments a few years ago. We can forget the power of our story. The Bible says that we overcome through faith in what Jesus has done in our testimony. The story of how God has moved in your life holds living hope. Remembering God's work in us is powerful, bringing us to a place of gratitude. The record of God's touch on your life disproves the lies you're believing when you feel worthless. You can say, "See, God has come through for me. I know he's faithful." Remembering God's touch on your life is also a source of hope for those listening and watching your life. Remember today how God has spoken, worked in, and provided for your life. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. To hear this again, read or share this, or to find more resources like this, visit guidelines.org.
Well, friends, GALCOM is a part of the Alliance for the Unreached, and kind of the central website where we all kind of meet around is the joshuaproject.net. Lists all the unreached people groups, because all the statistics and so on about it. And we like to keep our eye on this. These are people that have never heard of Jesus Christ. And so our communications director, Faye Watford's here. She's going to tell us about one of these unreached people groups. And again, you can learn more about unreached people groups at joshuaproject.net. Faye, who's our unreached people group this week?
Yeah, today, Tim, we're talking about the Adamawa Fulani in Nigeria. There's almost 1,700,000 of this people group in Nigeria, and they speak Adamawa Fulfulde. And they are almost completely Muslim. There's only 0.05% professing to be Christian there. And that makes them what we call a frontier people group. They're desperately in need of a gospel witness among them.
So unreached people group is kind of anyone less than 2% Christian, no mature self-reproducing church, and then you have this extra frontier where it's almost none.
Right. Basically completely unreached is how they would define it.
So tell us more about them.
Okay. So the Bible has been fully translated into Fulfulde, including an audio version that we use on our Envoy audio Bibles and our Compass players. But this group is almost completely Muslim. As I said, there's very, very few believers among them. So the Fulani tribes are nomadic, and they are grouped and named according to their locations, their occupations, and dialects. To support themselves, the people raise cattle on land that was once forested. The Adamawa Fulani are the group of Fulani who live in Nigeria's Adamawa province. Some Fulani also live in Cameroon, Chad, Gabon, and Sudan.
So on a day-to-day basis, what would their day look like?
Right. So although most of the Adamawa Fulani are shepherds, some also raise a few crops such as sorghum or corn, and they trade with neighboring tribes for millet, yams, and peanuts.
Sounds like a good diet.
Well, milk is the main staple of their diet, and this distinguishes them from the tribes who do not milk their cattle. And they also produce butter, which can be traded in the markets. So the Fulani nomads live in wet season camps while planting and harvesting. The pastures are lush and green. The cattle can just graze around their settlements. And these camps consist of beehive-like huts made of woven twigs, leaves, and grass. But during the dry seasons, they camp in portable huts, moving the cattle or sheep to well-watered lands in the floodplains. The Adamawa Fulani men hunt, trade livestock, and tend to the herds. And while the older men exercise the leadership of the tribes, it is the duty of the younger men to move the herds. Young boys are responsible for helping their older brothers with the herds, and the women usually milk the cattle and sell butter in the markets. Over the years, some of the Adamawa Fulani have advanced from being exclusively livestock herders to being more scholarly and influential leaders in their communities. These people are likely to become political leaders in Nigeria.
Yeah, we're going to actually be talking a little bit later to one of our missionary partners. It's really important, as you've talked about kind of this semi-nomadic people group, you said areas used to be forested. there's a lot of tribal issues that we're going to be talking a little bit later with our missionary friend. So it's important to kind of visualize this people group trying to find grass for their cattle and coming in contact with other people groups. And as you said, very Muslim, very proud people group here. And so actually, what are their beliefs really religiously?
Right. Well, Tim, as you said, the Fulani are a proud people and they teach their young children to have dignity. This is very important to them. The Fulani, they're expected to follow a code of high moral behavior and it's known as pulaku. Mm. And pulaku extols virtues such as kindness, bravery, patience, tolerance, perseverance, honesty, diligence, generosity, and dignity. It's that last one that's very important. To be reserved is part of being dignified for the Fulani, and therefore they are very shy and very modest in public. A mother does not show affection to her infant son. In fact, she never even calls her firstborn by his name all throughout his life. In terms of spiritual beliefs, the Adamawa Fulani are almost entirely Sunni Muslim with many animistic beliefs blended in.
I'm just hung up, the mother not showing affection to this. That's how reserved, how proper they are. That must make them very difficult to reach, being so reserved to be able to communicate effectively with them. So If we're going to reach this people group, if we're going to make a difference, I guess the first step, though, is prayer. How do we pray for the Adamawa Fulani?
Well, what I've read is that one of the best things we can do is pray for abundant rain for them, because that will determine their sustenance, their survival in life, and just the prosperity is if they receive abundant rain. But of course, spiritually, we have to pray for some compassionate believers to take Christ to these people. These people are frontier people group. They are completely unreached. And we also have to pray for courage and safety for the missionaries who do venture into the Adamawa province, that they're going to be safe as they take the gospel of peace to this people. And hopefully, our prayer and our great hope is that there will be a church planting movement as evangelism produces results among this people.
Well, it's no mistake that you chose a Fulani people group here to share as our people group of the week, because Rick Brad from SIM is going to be joining us shortly to talk about his outreach. And hey, maybe that little percentage, 0.05, is going to grow because of his work. So Faye, thank you for bringing this to us. And again, friends, joshuaproject.net, there's an app, Unreached of the Day. Download it and be praying for people who have never heard of Jesus Christ so you know what's going on. And then, hey, pray for missionaries, get a movement going on, people hear about the gospel. Faith, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tim.
Stories can give us the assurance of finding the Lord's will for our life. Galcom International presents Stories of the Great Commission.
We had a woman who wrote in considering marriage, and she was seeing someone who was probably not a good person to be dating. She came to Christ as she was listening to the station, and she heard people talking about how important it is to grow in Christ and how that means if you choose to get married, you need to find someone who also is a follower of Christ. She actually broke off a relationship that she was in order that she could wait for God to provide the right husband. And the Lord had provided her a Christian man to marry, and she was just a few weeks away from getting married at that time. Here's someone who is recognizing the importance of following the Lord. And that's, of course, our goal for all of the listeners.
Discover how you can grow in Christ and reach the lost with the gospel. Learn more at galcom.org, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Galcom International. Make waves.
You may be listening to us on your computer, but you can also find us on your smartphone using Spotify, iTunes, or other streaming platforms. Just go to galcom.org and choose your favorite. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast.
Well, friend, if you've listened to the Mission Compass at all over the last couple of years, you'll recognize the name Rick Bradford. We've had him on the program every time he comes back from Nigeria on furlough. Now, he's been back in our office probably 4 or 5 times, picking up audio Bibles, working with our staff. And I've never had the opportunity to get him back in the studio here because I've always been busy. So I called him up and said, Rick, we got to book a time so we can get here and talk about what God is doing in Nigeria. Rick, great to have you back in studio.
Thank you, Tim. It's good to be back here again and back seeing you face to face without all this busyness that we have with God having us do so much, but it's wonderful to be here.
Yeah, I've seen you in church. Just, you know, we attend the same church, but Rick's always visiting other people. Of course, the missionary and furloughs, updating all of the supporting churches and so on. So I think we've waved me from the balcony to you down there, and that's about our interaction so far. So quick, tell us, you've been working in Nigeria, in Egbe, and this is in Yoruba land, but you've been reaching out to Fulani and Hausa. Let's actually start. The last time you were here, we were talking a lot about building schools in Fulani villages. Give us an update on what God is doing there.
Well, yes, Tim, we've actually really focused since the COVID on one major school. We actually have a large school built in a town that has a number of Fulani villages surrounding it. And so we've decided that that was our focus for now. And it's been good because we have over 283 children going to the school. It's a free education for them. I have now 10 teachers, which we are sponsored here from Canada, the teachers. And then with that, we now are looking at adding a 6-block classroom because 5 of our classrooms are under a mango tree. And rainy season has just started. So what's happened is we've been rushing to get this building done actually before I have the funding. So this is all in faith. And, you know, it's right now the one who's working with me, a Christian chief, he's helping me with this. And he would just sent me an email yesterday saying, Rick, I have some debtors I need to pay. And so I'm just praying that God will send the funds so that we can pay what he's done so far. He just put the roof on, the 6 blocks. The doors aren't on yet. The windows aren't, but the kids are in there out of the rain. So now that's the major school. We were able to do teachers' quarters because there's nowhere to live for the teachers. We can't even rent anything in the town. And so we've had to build 8 rooms for our teachers, so those that can live on the site, which actually is a blessing in disguise. Now, as a Christian teachers teaching 95% Muslim children, now the children are coming and being with the teachers on off hours, asking questions, just discussing why are they who they are, sharing life. And that's the place in which Christ really does get glorified.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up. I was about to clarify, hey, this is a big deal. Christian schools in largely, you said 95% Muslim villages. So that's the Fulani. But you've been asking us for audio Bibles, not just in the Fafulde language, which the Fulani speak, or in the Yoruba language, which is the tribal group that you're in. But you keep on asking us for audio Bibles in Hausa. Why? Why suddenly another language group so much?
As the merging of people, the movement of people, we know it all over our country. We know it here in Canada. People are coming from all over. Well, it's actually happening in Nigeria. The Hausa predominantly live in the north, and they're half the population, the largest population. Yoruba and Hausa are the two largest people groups. But what's happened is with all of this trouble in the north, a lot of Hausa people are moving themselves, their families, south. They happen to get as far as the middle belt where we are. And then because that's a persecution, one is farming. The land has been stripped. Oh. They've really poured a lot of chemicals over the years in the land. And so growing is difficult. You need fertilizer. You need all this stuff. Well, when you come to our region, it's fresh for growing. This is virgin land. They're cutting down trees in the bush and cleaning the land up to farm. So this has become quite an ordeal for them, calling more people to come for good farmland. And then the thing is just getting away, like just moving somewhere else. Things are just not the way they are. So a lot of Hausa-speaking people. Now, Hausa-speaking includes a lot of different tribes because Hausa is a major language in the north. So you have Cambry, Bagi, you have all these other languages that, so when you see some MVPs that say Bagi, Hausa,
yeah,
you know, and all this, a
New
combination.
Testament in this language,
yeah,
New Testament
because
in
it's
language.
Their parent language, but it's the language they grew up with and they know their education language. And so that they're moving and coming and in droves. In 5 years, the population is maybe would have been 10,000. We're looking at 150,000, 200,000 people coming almost each year. It's just incredible. And they're filling in places, renting land, and people don't know necessarily how many there are. Then you have the Fulani that are doing the same also. So.
Right. Okay, so now you've been building the schools for the Fulani who are, and we've said this before, to be Fulani is to be Muslim. So this is real pioneering work. These teachers there, this is a big deal. What about the Hausa? What is your interaction with them? Are they receptive to be given an audio Bible in their language? Are they talking about Jesus? Where do they stand in their kind of religious beliefs and in their worldview?
There are a number of Hausa who already believe, who have come.
Okay.
So we have a base of a number of Christians who are coming, and they're finding places to live as a Christian group of them living there.
So they would be the ones kind of fleeing the north then, kind of internal refugees.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So that's, as you said, that's one of the issues. The other one is farming. So, okay,
and
so
farming. And so there's a lot of Hausa that are finding farming is really big there. Now, they're willing to accept. They're glad to accept them. Now, here's the issue with the school. Our focus is Fulani, but we can't just say only Fulani can come. So we have a few Yoruba kids. We have 60% Hausa-speaking children in the school. And then we have the Fulani-speaking and then some other minor tribes that are at the school. We don't sit there and say, you can't come because you're not Fulani. So that's children that have never been to school before get an opportunity to come to school and learn English, learn how to read, learn how to write, math, all the things in the Nigerian curriculum they're being taught.
The last time you were here, you presented a bit of a tragedy. It kind of broke my heart a bit. And I've actually now had this kind of confirmed. I was speaking at a church out east in Canada and met a lady from Nigeria. And I mentioned about you and your work with the Fulani. And she kind of went, oh, basically said they're animals and they're going to hell and they're helpless. And you had warned me that there's, even amongst Christians, the tribal identity is very divisive. And so you're reaching out to this Hausa group that's coming in, and they're not really being accepted by Christians from other tribes. So what are you doing to bring them the love of the gospel?
It's not easy. Let me just tell you that. You have to be very creative. It's not just a straight point by point that you do this and do this. So because of this difficulty in just the whole tribal issues, I always said in my time being there now, I realized that we talk a lot about the issues between Christians and Muslims. But in reality, the number one issue is tribalism, tribe against tribe. And it's sadly, it's embedded in the church. And you know, let's go to our own heritage. We could say we were that way too. So it's not just because they're Africans or just because they're Nigerians. It's a human nature issue. And so then the fact is that religious issues would be number two. Number three is the herdsmen and farmers. When you think about this, we had that, again, I said before, that between our own country and the U.S., we had a lot of problems between farmers and cattlemen.
Get off my land. And killing and stealing.
It's happening a lot there. So some of the things that we're doing is trying to build bridges. So I've actually have a number of Yoruba people who are working with me. Now, the first time they went out, they were afraid of the bush. And no one goes into the bush. The evil spirits, but the evil people.
Okay.
So you have both. You know, they have the spiritual element of the evil spirits in their mind from the history of their parents. And then you have the issue of people who are difficult. And to be honest, it is dangerous to go there. You can end up disappearing and not coming back. So the reality is there, but that shouldn't stop us. When God is our strength, that shouldn't stop us. And should we be able to do that? So we do water. We bring in drilling of wells. So we get sponsorships from that. People will donate so we can drill some wells to get fresh water for that. We build bridges with the hospital because we have a mission hospital there. And so we bring people there. So we have a benevolent fund so that people who can't afford it, these people in the bush can't afford it, can get some funding to be able to pay for their medical aid. And of course, the education. Now, the other thing is now working with the Hausa people because they're the major group that's come now. Yes, Fulani is the group I'm targeting, the unreached people. But now we have a lot of Islamic Hausa people in this region and no one's reaching out for them because the Yoruba have sort of put the shades up and they don't really deal with that issue spiritually. They deal with business. We'll buy stuff from them. We'll sell stuff to them. But when it comes to spiritual issues, we're dealing with our own. And that's really an issue that we're struggling with.
Well, friend, we are at the end of the program today. We'll continue this conversation next week on Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. Tim, before we sign off today, do you have any special announcements or prayer requests?
Well, thank you for asking, Ron. Yes, I do. Every quarter here at Galcom, we send out a prayer calendar and a newsletter. And so we sent one out in June, and it's usually an update what God is doing through the ministry. And we did something unusual this time. We actually asked for financial help. You see, it's been very difficult for us to get our radio shipped around the world. And the arrangement we have with our partners, our affiliates, that are doing the broadcasting and handing out the radios in the different countries, we cover half of the cost of the radios. And they cover the other half, plus the shipping and any import tax and duties. Shipping costs in the last couple of years have gone through the roof, double, some cases triple what it used to cost. And our affiliates just couldn't handle the increase. And we had 20,000 radios in our warehouse we couldn't ship out. And so in our June newsletter, we asked you, our friends, our partners, if you would give to a new shipping fund. And we've already been able to bless a couple of our partners by subsidizing the cost of those the shipping of the radios. But here's the prayer request. Our partners in Mozambique, we shipped several hundred radios to them. We've been working with them. God has been doing incredible things there amongst the Mwani tribe and others that are hearing about Jesus Christ for the first time and are en masse coming to faith. they have been given a quote for customs and duty import taxes that are exorbitant, that are actually higher than the value of the radios. Please be praying that they'll be able to negotiate a fair price, and praise the Lord that he has provided funds for us to help them with the shipping costs. So we're going to help them with the shipping costs so they don't have to bear that, but they still need to be able to get the radios out of customs, and it's really beyond their means. So thank you, Ron, for giving me the opportunity to just give this extra prayer request. Friends, thank you already for answering that prayer for shipping funds. And now please be in prayer. And this isn't just unique to Mozambique. That's just the problem we're having right now. But please be praying for our partners around the world trying to import these radios, these incredible gospel tools, fixed tune radios and audio Bibles that they're distributing that are being so effective in people coming to faith in Jesus Christ.
Well, friend, we're at the end of our program today, and you've been listening to Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. There are many ways to partner with us. To find out more, visit our website at galcom.org. That's Galcom, spelled GALCOM.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass, a radio ministry of Galcom International.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we upload a new episode every Monday. You can also find us on the radio or other streaming platforms. We have a list on our website. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast. Please rate this episode and leave a review. We would love to hear back from you. And we also want to know where you're listening from. So click Mission Compass on our website, tell us, and we'll send you Galcom's devotional, 30 Days of Faith.